Hey, thanks for tuning in to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. This week at our Good Friday service, Ryan talks to us about how separation is a lie, and because he tore the veil, there is no separation. And through his victory on the cross, he carries us over the threshold as a bridegroom does, and how we are the bride and we're receiving what he did on the cross, and that makes Good Friday good. Hope this blesses you.
In verse number 3 of chapter 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I will come and take you unto myself. We read past these words sometimes, and we don't understand the depth of this word. And this word in the Greek, and it may say receive, depending on the translation, but it's receive. He's saying, I'm going to come and take you. This word in the Greek, New Testament was written in Greek. Jesus was speaking Aramaic, but they translated it in the Greek. Watch this. It's the word paralambano. Weird word. I get it. But here's what it means. The depth of what Jesus is saying. Now, you have to understand, these disciples have followed him now for 3 years, 3.5 years. And he is about to change his language in a way that shakes up their whole world. In John chapter 15, we get abide in me. All they knew was follow me, but in John chapter 15, they get abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, I'm the vine, you're the branch, right? Chapter 15. But watch this. This word, I will come and take you unto myself, it literally means as a bridegroom would come and take a bride. He's opening the door to intimate language, and he's speaking to his disciples in a way that they had not heard thus far. And what is he saying? I know we made every verse in the Bible about heaven, and listen, I can't wait to get to heaven, but as my brother Antonio said a while ago, how about if we live in the kingdom right now, and we do some stuff right now, okay? And here's what I want us to understand. Not every verse is about going to heaven. And when he says, I am going to take you, he knew that they knew in that culture he was speaking as a bridegroom coming to take a bride. And what he's actually saying is, I'm going to come and I'm going to carry you, why? Over the threshold of death, hell, and the grave. I am going to pick you up and carry you as a bride over the threshold of death, hell, and the grave. And he begins to open up this idea of a bridal paradigm that we struggle to understand. Do you know why we struggle to understand? Because we don't live our lives like we believe the veil has been torn. Watch this. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. This is after Jesus says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and he cries out, tetelestai, it's finished. He says these words, and the Bible says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. Now watch this. This is not just a curtain. These curtains are thin. They're kind of light. This veil was 60 feet high, six stories high, 30 feet wide, and as deep as my hand. It literally would take about 300 priests to actually pull that veil down, to wash it or to clean it. It was a huge veil. And the Bible says that when he said it is finished, from top to bottom, that veil was torn. There was an earthquake, the rocks were rent, and everything shook because he said it's finished. Here's what I want you to understand about the veil. It was a sign of redemption. Do you know what was etched on the veil? On the veil was etched two large cherubim, all right? Two large angels, 60 feet high. What was standing in front of the Garden of Eden after Adam fell? Two cherubim with flaming swords standing there. And what happens is we make this idea about the veil being torn that we get to go in. No, 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 honey. What was happening is Jesus was enacting redemption. Those cherubim split, and God made himself accessible to man. Here's the one thing that I want to tell you. If the veil is torn, then separation from God is nothing more than an illusion. I know it sounds good, but you need to understand this. If the veil was really torn, then separation from God, separation from the things of God, separation from everything that he paid for in the new covenant, separation from healing, separation from all of the things that we feel are just at our fingertips but we can't get, separation from that is nothing more than an illusion if that veil was torn. And all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mentioned that the veil was torn in an instant from top to bottom. And one of the reasons we struggle with this idea of separation being an illusion is because we don't understand the way that the Father sees us. Oh, I so loved it when Antonio began to pray and he said, give us a God consciousness and not a sin consciousness. Do you know what we've done in the culture of the church specifically? Is we have so elevated sin as if it were equal with the blood of Jesus. We have elevated the enemy as if he were the equal enemy of God. No. Jesus, when he said, this is how I believe it. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I believe the context was, I saw that Joker fall like lightning from heaven. He's got nothing on me. I want to help you today that whatever you believe or wherever you're going, Satan is not the opposite of God. He was a created being and he is less than. And what God was trying to tell us when the cherubim split and the veil was torn was that separation is now an illusion. And this is on the tail end of Jesus telling the disciples, I'm going to come and I'm going to carry you like a bridegroom carries a bride over the threshold. So what made Friday good? It wasn't that they beat our Savior. It wasn't just that they crucified him. It wasn't just that they mocked him, and that we could have another holiday. It actually was an initiation point. Jesus says something in John 14 and 15 and 16 that blows my mind, and I honestly, I'm going to talk to you about it, but I don't know how to reconcile it in my brain, okay? He says, it's imperative, it's expedient, King James Version, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the language he uses is he's actually telling his disciples, sitting in front of them. They don't understand. He's spoken in parables up to this point, and they don't understand what he's saying. And he says, it's better for you that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Watch this. When you study the Bible, you have to remember what you already know. And I've already told you that he was talking to them about bridal language, right? These rough, tough fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. He starts talking to them and explaining to them a bridal paradigm. And he says, it's more important that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. In essence, he's saying this. It's better for you, even though I'm here in front of you right now. I want you to think about this. Though I'm here in front of you right now, it's better for you that I go away because the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to reveal me in a way that you can't understand with me sitting right in front of you. What? What are you saying? Jesus, I don't understand. How is it possible that he could show you to us in a way that's better than me being able to touch you? And he said, listen, there's things that I want to tell you. There's secrets that I want to tell you. There's pillow talk that I want to have with you, but you can't understand it right now. So what made Friday good?
Yeah.
Here's what made Friday good. It was a proposal. It was a proposal. Do you know how I know it was a proposal? Because Paul reached back and wrote about it. Here's the first thing I want to say. The words that Jesus spoke in John were so important that he remembered them about 7 years later, and that's when he started writing the book of John. They so impacted him. Listen, I have no illusions of grandeur. Most of y'all are going to forget tomorrow what I'm talking about right now. But Jesus, when he was speaking, 70 years later, because he wrote it right about the time he wrote Revelation. On the Isle of Patmos, he writes the book of John, and he sets down and with accuracy says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. And I will come and take you, carry you over the threshold. So what made Good Friday good? It was the proposal. And Paul reaches back into the declaration of Jesus. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. He knows we are his, since he has also stamped his seal of love over our hearts and has given the Holy Spirit, like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of blessings to come. Ladies, I know you're longing for the proposal when the man gets down on one knee. I know, and it's coming, and it's going to blow your mind. But here's what I want to tell you. Jesus did not get down on one knee. But what he did is it made Friday good, because he hung on a cross and he said, hey, will you marry me? Will you let me be the bridegroom? Will you let me carry you across the threshold? That's what made Good Friday good. The seal of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? I haven't seen everything that he promised me. I understand, but we have a ring. We have a seal. We have a promise. He doesn't know how to go back on his word. Can you hear me? He doesn't know how to go back on his word. You may have dreams that have not been accomplished yet. I'm telling you, if you have a word from the Lord, you also have a ring that says, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to give you, because it's better for me to go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit with the proposal. If the veil was torn, separation is an illusion. Here's what I know about us, though. Sometimes we put veils back up. Sometimes we put the veil up. It's not the one he hung. It doesn't take 300 priests to put it up. Sometimes it just takes a thumb to keep scrolling. I can't get no help in here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's busyness. Sometimes it's pleasures that we choose to grab onto. And we put the veil of separation. And watch this, here's what we're good at. Then we get mad at God because we're separated. I know none of y'all have ever done that. Y'all all Jesus' first cousin. But I have put veils of separation from time to time. I've done it. And this year, this Good Friday, I had to remind myself. He came to carry me across the threshold. He came to carry me through death, hell, and the grave. Why? Because he conquered all three of them. He conquered all three of them within 3 days. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as the engagement ring to seal the promise. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. I really am done. I really am done. In Jesus' name, I'm done. That was fast. I told you. The veil was torn, and it was. Separation is an illusion. And I don't know what you may have going through your brain right now that makes you feel like you're separated from God. Maybe it's because you feel like you haven't gotten the right score. Maybe it's you feel like you haven't filled out the right scorecard and you didn't do all of the right things. Listen, that's all law-based Christianity that we don't have to deal with anymore. Do you know why? Because he died to take it. And listen, oh, are you saying greasy grace? No, 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 no. No chance. No chance. If you know me, you know what I'm saying is that when you have real relationship with him and you really begin to listen to him as your bridegroom, then none of that other junk even has any appeal to you any longer. So you're not even worried about that. So I want you, in this moment, I feel like the Lord wants to minister to someone right now. So I want you in this moment to close your eyes and ask the Lord, is there something that is causing separation? Is there something that is causing separation? I'm going to ask our ministry team.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.